I just feel like if we would just close our eyes just for even 1 minute longer, let's just receive right now. God, you are over us right now. You are here in the room right now. God, we surrender all our facades. We give up all our masks, all our anything that's been holding us back from who we were made to be. And we just rest in you this morning. God, like a shower of your love here right now over us, God, just washing us. No matter if we feel clean or not, God, you're saying, I've come to wash you this morning. I've come that you might be cleansed this morning. For within your heart, that you might have peace this morning. Hallelujah. God, we receive. Let's just receive right now. Yes, God. No matter what I've done, you're here right now and you're speaking love. You're speaking acceptance over us right now. Oh, that we would know just a glimpse of your love this morning, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That was a wonderful time of worship. Thank you, John. Nobody wants the piano to stop. It's so beautiful. Can I start with the scripture this morning? We're talking about the story of Easter. Just before we start, I just want to have a verse that I feel the Lord drop on my heart. It's 1 Corinthians 6:17. And again, just soak it up. Stay in that place of worship. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. This is a giant revelation if you get this. If you have received Christ into your life, you are one spirit with him. We're talking right now. There is in Christianity, there's now and not yet, but there's a lot more now. There's a few not yet. There's a few things we're waiting for, but there's a whole lot right now. Let's just read that again. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That is probably the greatest revelation you could ever receive. That you're not waiting for something. If you've received Christ, you are one with him now, and you'll be one with him forever. That's why the miraculous can take place right here, right now, in this church. Because we are one with him. Amen? There's things we're waiting for, but those things are few, and many is right now. He's alive right now. He's here right now, and we are one with him. Hallelujah. As we close today, we're not closing right now. We do want to pray for you, and we are believing. He is one with us. These hands are anointed because Christ is one with me. He's one with you right now. Even as we're like, as the word is going, stay in that expectant place. Bring what's going on in your heart. Bring what's going on in your physical body. Bring that to him, because just as powerful as a hand laid on you, it can happen right now in your seat. And if you're willing to receive, he's willing to impart. You got to press through, guys. Got to work hard for the Lord. No, that's not what I'm saying. But it's like, have you heard the story of Fergus McIntyre? I shared it a while ago. He felt the Lord saying, I'm giving you healing over allergies. He said, yes, Lord, I receive that. And yet, he said he prayed 50 times before the healing of allergies happened. Continue to pray. Our clocks look a little different than the Lord's, but he is the miraculous God of the right now if we would just believe. Amen. All right. Well, we're talking about Easter this morning. That's a good verse. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The story of Christ coming to the earth, giving his life on our behalf. And if you're not careful, you're going to go back to that courtroom. You're going to start thinking God is saying, eye for an eye. Hey, Adam messed up. therefore Jesus has to give an eye for an eye. It's not like that. It says Jesus gave himself freely. It was of Jesus' own choice that he gave himself. It wasn't you did wrong, I have to make up for it. He gave freely and that made up for it. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus had to come and correct. He said, you've heard it said eye for an eye, but I say turn the other cheek. He's saying, you've heard this, but I'm actually saying, no, you give yourself freely. Oh, this is good news. So the Father, he said yes to the will of the Father. We're in Luke, and I'm going to read, it says, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Are we happy that the Lord said, Jesus said, if there's a way out, I'll take it, but nevertheless, your will be done. How many know we are here because Jesus said yes? Yeah. That is a very powerful thing. God said yes. God gave freely himself so that we might be, as we read before, one with him. We read the story of Jesus being betrayed by one of his friends, being called a liar, a blasphemer, and giving himself on the cross for our sins. If this is the first time that you've been to church or the first time you're hearing the message, before Christ, there had to be an offering. Sometimes it was a grain offering. Sometimes it was a burnt offering, and there was a lamb that would be offered as a sacrifice. Blood was necessary. I know this might sound crazy, but that's how it was in the olden days. But now, when Jesus came, he said, no longer do you have to make sacrifices to be one with me. He said, I'm giving my life once and that's it, once and for all. When Jesus gave his body, when Jesus gave his life on the cross, he didn't even just give his mortal body. He also took upon him the sin of the entire world, all the curses, all the burden, all the accusations, all the evil he took upon him so that we could walk free. One-on-one with him. That's good news this morning. So we are here because he said yes. The ultimate love story. He had one purpose in mind on that cross. His will is that none should perish, but that all would have everlasting life. Do you believe that this morning? Hello. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God's not just got a book of lists and some are going to, this is who's on my list, that's who I want to make it, and the rest are, good luck, you didn't make the list. I don't think God's like that. He says his will is that none should perish, but that all would know everlasting life. That's his will. And his example is saying yes. I love the story. So Jesus had seen a similar type of commitment growing up. He would have heard the story of Mary, where an angel came up to Mary when she was 12, 13, 14, somewhere around that age, and said, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child. Give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this moment where Mary is a giant angel? Well, I don't know if it was giant or not. A beaming, glorious angel is in front of you. And you have the choice to turn and run or the choice to say yes. Mary, like the Son, also said yes. It's a great example for Jesus to see. Because, you know, it wasn't easy for Mary saying yes. She was given the choice. I believe she could have turned and ran. I believe she was just a normal person like any of you. Not any more special, not any more gifted or anointed or this or that. Just the person who I believe really loved the Lord and, when given the opportunity, said yes to the greatest miracle in the world, Jesus. But how many know, in that place, that would not be easy being Mary. It's, Mom, Dad, guess what? I'm pregnant. It's Angel told me I'm pregnant. Let's party, you know? Let's celebrate. How would that be? Or when you go to Joseph, I am pregnant. Not your baby. God's baby. I'll explain everything. That was the whole explanation. There's nothing more to explain. We hear the story of Joseph considering, you know, annulling the engagement, sending Mary back to her parents. And we also read the story about the angel appearing to Joseph as well and saying, this isn't just bogus. This is for real. This is God overshadowing Mary and her. The son of God would be born. How many know that was not easy for Mary to say yes? I'm bringing in Mary at this moment because sometimes we look at Jesus saying yes and we think, well, of course he would say yes. He's God. He's so far beyond us. I want to bring it back to human terms. A woman saying yes. Because you can say yes to the Lord, but then, you know what? She went through a 9-month period with that baby where you have to continue to tell people this is, because that thing's not hiding forever. How many of us are willing to put up with ridicule? How many of us would be willing to put up with embarrassment? Or how many of us would be able to put up with people leaving us, friends abandoning us because they don't understand that we've said yes to God? It's all about the yes. God is looking for those who will say yes. And all he needs is that yielded heart. Everyone's not going to understand the wisdom of you laying down your life so you can minister to people in back alleys. They're not going to understand it. Not everyone's going to understand why you travel to countries to preach Jesus, even though that country can stone you for talking about Jesus. They're going to say, that's foolish. You're going to have friends and family who are going to say, don't do that. Not everyone will understand why you've chosen to pursue the top schools so that you can have influence in certain areas. Not everyone will understand why you're going to give your life to care for the sex trade workers in India. Or why you're going to move to Saskatoon to pastor a church for no pay when you're a married man. You start and the Lord provides. But not everyone understands why you say yes. But what he's looking for is a heart that says yes this morning. So how many of us will say yes to the lowest place? I like thinking about the lowest place because if you read in Ezekiel 47, there's a story about how first this angel is leading Ezekiel, and it's ankle deep. If you picture the presence of God, the picture was as if it was coming from the throne all the way down, the presence of God, to where we are in the world, through the Spirit. Bom, bom, bom. It just seems like a little bit, I don't know, what do you call that, Twilight Zone? But for real, we're spirit beings. That's the Greek. No, that's... And I love the picture of Ezekiel. First, it starts with the ankle deep, and he is given the choice to go deeper or not. He's given knee deep. He's got the choice to go deep or not, waist deep. And at some point, he had the choice where I'm either going to stay waist deep or I'm going to be completely in the river of God. The reason I like saying, let's take the lowest place, is because even if I go on my stomach, that's still ankle deep. I still get all of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Even when God's called you to a simple place, if you were to say yes to being fully submersed, you're going to have to, if you're completely taken by the river current, you're out of control, right? Oh my goodness. See, even as a pastor, I could do church at waist deep for a long time. Because I'm in control still. I'm not taking, but you know, man, what happens if I just let the Lord take? Oh, it's scary. It leaves room for embarrassment, maybe correction, maybe. But guess what? The Holy Spirit has control. He'll take me where he wants to take me. Who would rather be in that place than to be ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and having to, you get to control everything yourself? No, we don't want this. Who wants to be fully submersed in God this morning? We all do. He's constantly drawing us to that place. He says, anyone who has a willing heart, anyone that would yield their heart, come follow me. I will pay at all costs to carry this promise. Oh, man. I just want to do a quick reminder. When you're serving the Lord, don't view it as like this kind of service that I'm doing this for God. It's all for the sake of love. It's all because we love him is why we serve him. Anything other than that is just like a resounding gong. It's like it says on the last day, you're going to bring up all this stuff for you did for God, but if you didn't do it in love, he just takes a match and goes, hey, never asked you to do that. But I did all this for you. Yeah, but did he do that in love? Just takes a match. Okay. Oh, here's what you did in love. Anyways, it all has to be from a place of love, a place from his presence. We read the story of Moses. How many heard the story of Moses? Just another ordinary, average guy, and even a little bit worse because he had a problem with speaking. A little bit of a stutter, speech impediment. And God calls him to lead the people of Israel. But you know, Moses was wise. We read that Moses, he talks to God and he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses knew he could not lead the people without the presence of God. That's wisdom right there. God knows I cannot lead a church waist deep. I need to be fully submersed in God to lead. How many want the full measure of the Holy Spirit in this church? We all do. We all need to just be fully in unity that he could have his way. Oh, sometimes I just want to stop and pray. God, you are so good. God, we pray, even with our hearts united as one this morning, that this is your church. You would have your way in this church. Holy Spirit, we are just normal people, but with you, your presence, you can lead us to greater things, God. Have your way this morning. Amen. There's no shortcut to the anointing. There's no activity or event that can substitute for cultivating intimacy and spending time with him. Picture this. Picture this. A fruit tree. God says he's destined us all to bear fruit. Do we know that one? Just picture that fruit tree. How much work does that fruit tree have to do? This? I don't know. What does a fruit tree do? Stand there? A fruit tree to bear fruit needs some soil. It needs some earth. It needs maybe a river. It needs the rain. It needs the sun. And guess what? If it gets those, it's going to bear fruit. If that tree tries to rip itself out of the ground, start walking or whatever, do its own thing, it's not going to bear fruit and it's going to die. Our fruitfulness is directly linked to our yieldness to receive from him. Directly linked to receiving his love, receiving his spirit, receiving his presence, living in his presence. How many of you know, like some of the greatest people in the history of Christianity, you read their books, you read about the people that were like, oh, healing the blind eyes, raising the dead. We're talking literally raising the dead. We hear about these people and their truths are always so simple. I'm like Moses. I say, if your presence doesn't go with me, I just don't do it. Oh, man. If the Holy Spirit isn't with us, let's just stop. Yeah. He is everything. Amen. If his presence is with us, all things are possible, right? Amen. Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Yeah. Amen. So, developing a life in God's presence. The mission of this church is so simple. How many of you have heard the vision of this church? Our name, Christian City Church. It's a very tall order. There's no doubt about that. But we believe God can use one person in this city to bring it to Christ. I honestly believe one person completely yielded to Christ can bring a multitude to Christ. The only way this place is going to become a Christian city is if we, you know, one is fine, but a group of us, oh, many is more. That's great English. But the purpose, if we would all yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to His presence, that He would have His way, guess what? There's going to be a lot of fruit on our trees. That's how it works. Can I talk a little bit about work and a little bit about rest? We all have to work. We all have to do our 40 hours a week or whatever you do, own a business and have a baby and the responsibilities. You have to work. You have to work. But there's a time for work and there's a time to be wooed. The work and the woo. Being wooed by the Holy Spirit, I think of that as, man, I'll even be working and I'll feel like the Lord's drawing me away. And there's times I'm like, thank you, Lord, that lunch break is coming up soon, because I just feel His presence is just drawing me to spend time with Him. And there's this place of refreshing that I find when I'm able to just be drawn away with Him. How many of us have difficulty in our life? How many, it's not always easy. No, it's just me. That's great. Okay, a couple. It's not always easy. Tell me from your experience if it's similar to mine. You were about to go into a very difficult situation, and you took 5 minutes before you went into that just to pray, ask the Lord for help, and then you went into that situation. And then there's other times where you did not ask the Lord for help, and you went into a very similar situation, and it didn't go as well. That's how it is for me all the time. If I will take 5 minutes before a conversation and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Just say what you want to say right now. I'll find like the words are coming to me that I didn't think of that. That is a great idea, Lord. And then all of a sudden the walls come down. People receive the Lord. They're shaking on the floor. That's just a joke. But seriously, that's what we need to be doing constantly. So there's time when we're working and we can still stay in the presence of God. You don't have to be not working to be in the presence of God. Oh man, God is good. We are one with Him. Oh Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, God is so good right now. I sense His presence. I hope you do too. More Lord. Amen. Receive. God is good. Oh, I just feel Him on me. Yes, Lord, have your way this morning. So I'm going to talk to you not just as a pastor, but as a person right now. Okay? Can I do that? I cannot run the race God has set before me without His presence. Without romance, I cannot be a minister. I've tried in the past to do the Christian ministry without feeling His presence, without the romance, and it doesn't work. I need to be wooed. I need to be romanced. I need to be drawn by the Lord so that I can walk in love as I do this. Together as one, we need to ask the Lord that we would sense His enjoyment on our hearts as we run this race. I've been in ministry long enough to see those who are excited for a time. 3 months sometimes, 6 months, 9 months, they are pushing hard. And I've seen them burn out. And I've seen the other ones who have families or singles or couples. They have the hurting and the broken knocking on their door. And I see them constantly draw away to be with the Lord. Constantly relying on His presence. They last for years and years and years. Because we were made to run this race, but we weren't made to do it apart from His presence. How many just desire more of Him this morning? How many want to have that heart that says yes this morning? No matter the cost. No matter if it looks like Mary, where you have to receive some embarrassment, you have to receive some ridicule, whatever the cost, I will say yes. That's our church. Woo! I get to do life with you guys? You all said yes. We're going to turn this city upside down. I'm excited. Do you remember the story of Paul? Like, he was like just walking in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. People would run up to them and just like they would start worshiping Paul like he was a god. He's like, no, don't worship me. This is Jesus. But I want that to be here in Saskatoon, guys, where they run up to us and they're like, oh, what is going on? There's something different about you guys. And we can just say, it's Jesus. Yeah. Ooh, a yielded heart, a heart that will say yes no matter the cost. We'll see a city changed. Yes, Lord. Use us. Will you say yes? I'm actually going to call the band up because we this morning are going to go into a time of communion.